Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now it's time for Ask Me Anything. And Philip Thornton is from the DCU Caving Club. Philip is with me today. He's my guest to talk about the world of exploration. Philip, good afternoon. How are you doing? How's things?
I'm very good. How are you?
You might explain, first of all, what it means to, well, be a caver.
I suppose it's just what it sounds like. We go into caves, sort of poke around, crawl through mud and roll around. That's really it. There's sort of different aspects to it. Some people just do sport caving. They tread over the usual well-trodden passages. And then there's an exploration site where you're sort of looking for a new passage and digging your way through and all that.
So it can be a variety of things. It's not just that it's a recreational. It's there's a professional element, obviously, too, to this.
Not really professional, just people who take it a lot more seriously. There is also kind of archaeological benefit and scientific benefit to it as well. They're pretty unique ecosystems. So a lot of people are more into that kind of technical aspect. If there's a group down in Cork, actually, that are really big into archaeology stuff, and they're actually out in the Philippines at the minute, helping archaeologists out there. So,
yeah. Would you describe it as an adventure sport?
Yeah, definitely.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And typically, where would you do it in Ireland? So
Clare and Fermanagh kind of have the most caves. There's a lot of limestone around there. And then out towards Leitrim, there's a lot of caves, but they're sort of a bit sketchier. The rock is a lot looser and they're not as well trafficked. And then Cork as well, recently, that group down there has been doing so much exploration. Up until the last few years, no one really knew about a lot of the caves down there. But they've just been mapping them and poking around a lot. So.
Okay. This texter says, I've seen some of the videos online of people squeezing themselves through tiny gaps in caves. Is that the type of caving you're talking about? And how small are some of the openings?
That is exactly it. I would say those squeezes would maybe be 1% of the cave. You're not doing that for a kilometre of passageway, thankfully. There could be bits that are maybe a foot high and you're sort of wiggling along and you're kind of trying to work on your breathing to get yourself a bit slimmer down through as well.
Okay, so that's the sort of caving you're talking about, what this listener's mentioning online. We've this question in from Emer.
How did you get into caving?
I just joined the club in DCU. There's, I think, 11 clubs on the island of Ireland. Most of us join through the student clubs. I think there's one in DCU, TUD, UCD, UL, QUB and ATU are starting one. If you want to join caving, you can go to caving.ie and navigate to the clubs in Ireland and Northern Ireland page, and it'll have all the contact details for the different clubs.
Yeah, so is it quite a big industry or hobby, I suppose?
Not really in Ireland. I'd say there's maybe about 250 active cavers on the island. It's a lot bigger over in the UK, and in France it's massive. The US like it as well, but it's not huge here now.
Okay, we've another question from Niamh.
How do you know if a cave is safe?
So a lot of the caves you go into would have been navigated before and they're surveyed, so you have a map with you and you know where you're going. And if it's been well trafficked, a lot of the risks are sort of mitigated. Like loose rock would be one of the biggest risks. And as more people move through, the rocks just kind of get moved down to the lowest level and it becomes safer over time. When you're looking kind of for new passage, there are more sort of inherent risks to it. You just kind of have to keep your eyes open and your wits about you and, know the risks. Fast flowing water, try and avoid it. Loose rock as well. You just kind of want to... We call it gardening, actually, when you're going into a new cave. You sort of just try and kick all the loose rocks ahead of you.
Okay. So do you tend typically to only, navigate or travel through caves, that people have gone through before? Or are you actively looking for new passageways?
So most of the caving we do with the club, it's just that sport caving where we're just going through what has been gone through before.
Yeah.
I've gone sort of last year into the exploration side, so looking for new passageway. Find new passageway and sometimes you kind of need to try and dig it out to make it wider to get through. There are the people who kind of sort of just like to wander through the wider open passageways now. So there's aspects to it for everyone, really.
Okay, we've Rita in Cavan wants to know this.
Hey, Philip, Niamh here. How do you train?
So We have SRT is a technique called that you use to navigate the ropes, and that kind of takes a bit of training. We usually train on climbing walls for that. And then the other aspect of just the horizontal caving, you just cave and you keep caving and you get better at it.
Yeah. So it's sort of, it's a combination that is it of hiking and the, in terms of the preparation of the planning for this?
Yeah, it's very similar. A lot of time you kind of need to hike up the hill to get to the entrance as well. It can be a bit miserable sometimes. But yeah, that's it really.
Yeah, okay. We have another question in from Susie.
I'm just wondering if you've ever had a near-death experience while cave diving.
Hopefully not.
No, I personally haven't. I've been pretty scared a few times. There was one time I was a little hungover and I kind of got wedged in at the top of a pitch for about 20 minutes, but I was pretty safe. It's just kind of scary. I wasn't in a great emotional state at the time, I know people that have gone kind of badly hurt. There's one guy in particular, his nickname's Rocky, who injured his back quite badly one time. But he's grand now. It's, you know, like I said, you kind of try and mitigate the risks. You bring your light, you keep your eyes open and she'll be all right.
Yeah. The documentary, the Thai Cave Rescue documentary, did you watch it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
What did you think?
It was fantastic. Those guys were really top level cavers. And cave diving as well, like scuba diving in the caves, the whole other, like that's different gravy. That is really scary stuff. That's a lot more dangerous than the dry caving we'd be doing.
Okay, we've another question in from Kian.
What do you do if you need to go to the bathroom and you're in a very tight spot?
Good question.
Yeah, well, you try and hold it until you're not in a tight spot. And then I suppose after that you try and aim for water, you try and leave no trace in the cave, so that's it really.
Try and hang on.
Well, yeah, try and hang on. If you're really bursting, you aim for the streamway nearby. That's it.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Nutty Putty cave incident? Horrible incidents as this texter in which a caver was caught upside down.
Yeah. That was a tough situation for him, all right. Like, as far as I know, he was experienced and he'd been in the cave before, but he just kind of went off the wrong way. And that, it looks like a particularly horrible cave, I'd say. A lot of crawling, and it was easy for them to kind of just turn right instead of left. And then he got stuck in that situation. That is a very uncommon situation to be in.
We've another question in from Grace.
What has been your favourite cave to explore and your least favourite?
My favourite by far is Shannon. It's kind of starts in Cavan, it goes in, crosses the border then into Fermanagh, and it's just a fantastic cave. It has unbelievable formations. It's really sporting, has all the squeezes, a bit of climbing. All my best caving experiences have been in there. My least favourite would be tough to say. A lot of the time, a cave you enjoyed the time before, you're going to hate the second time because you're going in and for some reason the waterfall is higher and you get soaked and then you're sitting down the bottom waiting for someone and you're freezing cold and it's like misery, 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 the whole flipping wailing.
That can make it tricky. Yeah. How long typically, Philip, you know, does whatever, a climb or a cave experience, like how long does it normally take?
Well, you can go as long as you like. Like normally, I suppose we'd go for 4 or 5 hours with the club. Then the longer trips I've done in Shannon, kind of looking for new pasture and digging, I've done a few 10-hour trips in there.
Really?
Yeah, and then, sure, I was over in Austria then as well last August and I was in overnight, I think it was 32 hours. And then I know cavers who were helped explore in Verona, the deepest cave in the world, and they were in there for 11 days straight.
Okay, so obviously no issues with them in any way claustrophobic or tight spaces. I mean, this just isn't the hobby for people that are.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's variety to it that you can, there's easier caves you can explore. And I would say that everyone like should try it. It is really incredible and such a unique environment to be in a cave as well.
We have a question in from Ronan.
How physically fit do you have to be a caver?
Well, you know, it depends on the standard you're aiming for. Like I said, you know, you don't need to be pushing yourself that hard. Like anyone can do it. And I've seen some pretty big guys have really good careers in caving as well. So it's just kind of, I suppose, having an attitude to try and give it a go. And it's definitely uncomfortable and you need to push yourself a bit, but that's kind of all a part of it.
Listeners wondering, is caving another term for potholing?
Yeah, so potholing is, it's kind of a British term really for the vertical part of the cave. So like I said, a lot of time you need ropes to access the cave, and that would be potholing then. You're just kind of going down and up. So then caving would be you're doing horizontal stuff as well.
Okay. Listeners wants to know, how do you avoid panicking?
Yeah, well, you deep breathing exercise, I suppose. You kind of get used to it as well. Like, the more you do it, you get better at it. You know, yeah. You don't start your first year doing 10-hour trips and squeezing through horrible
stuff. I suppose experience and build it up. What size are the groups that go caving? Is it typically small teams?
Yeah, ideally. The bigger you go, kind of the slower you're going to be moving, and then you're getting cold and all the rest. I don't really like caving in a group more than five. You shouldn't cave in a group less than three, ideally, as well.
Okay, from a safety perspective. This question in from Brian.
What kind of food do you eat when you're down in the caves?
Well, on shorter trips, we usually just bring chocolate bars with us to keep us going. Longer trips then, sure, you bring in, I've brought a curry down here with me, I've brought sandwiches, whatever you want, really. Chuck it in a lunchbox and look after it.
And off you go. What are you thinking about when you're caving? Is it quite calming? Asks this listener.
Yeah, I suppose you don't really think about much other than the cave. So I suppose it could be quite stress relieving for some people. There was actually a while ago, when the last time I was in Shannon, one of the fellas had a horrible week in work, and I think one of the children had been sick as well. And we got up to the entrance and he was like, do you think we could maybe make this an overnight trip? I was like, no, nobody else wanted that. But
yeah. If it's a nice way to maybe get a little bit of escapism out of it. You mentioned at the start, if people are interested, if they want to get involved, you can find out that there's clubs beyond the colleges and universities where people can get involved in this.
Yeah, so there's Dublin Caving Group. They do their training in Dublin Climbing Centre. Then in Cork, there's the Cork Speleological Group. And then up north, there's Briffney Caving Club and the USSCC. So if you contact any of them.
And just finally, is there a lot of planning ahead of time in case of an emergency?
So we leave a call out, which is you let somebody on the surface know where you go and how long you're going to be in for. And then if you overshoot that, they'll ring Irish Cave Rescue. And they'll hopefully come and get you out.
Okay, very simple, Sajou. Listen, thanks a million for coming in, Philip, today to chat to us a little bit about the world of caving. Philip Thornton is from the DCU Caving Club. Thanks for your time in the programme. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.